gotten through 2020 almost. So I think we're all looking forward to a new year. One of the announcements that we have is that we're going to leave the beautiful decorations up until the night after Epiphany. Are there any? So that'll be on a Saturday, and everybody that can come, help put stuff away. Starting at 10. It's like you don't have enough to put away at your own home.
Okay. Well, you're already going to practice.
Oh, that's right, right.
You've had plenty of practice.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Trouble following schedules. Would you join me in the call to worship? We are thankful for the lessons of the past year.
Grant us hindsight that we may grow.
We are thankful for the opportunities that the new year provides.
Grant us vision and wisdom that we may reach out.
We are thankful for your presence in each moment of our lives.
Grant us warmth and compassion that we may in turn provide warmth and compassion to others.
We are thankful for the light of your presence that shines through us. In our worship today and in the year to come, grant that the light that you bring to our lives spill over to illuminate the darkness around us and bring comfort into the lives of others.
Most gracious Heavenly Father,
we come before you with wonder and awe at the magnificence of your creation. We thank you for this time that we can reflect on what is past and wonder at what will be. We look forward to seeing what blessings and influences you will bring to our lives
in the coming year.
Help us to grow and reflect an image of you to the world. So much in need of your love.
Amen.
Did you have a prayer concern? Okay. And, okay, yes, Liz. Oh, goodness. Pat Griffith, lost to COVID. Yes, ma'am. All right. Ricky, Regina, and Sue Johnson. All right. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Mark? Sarah. Okay, thank you. All right. Jordan, son Jordan. All right. Anyone else?
My friend John Lindquist died of COVID a couple of days before Christmas, leaving his partner of 34 years.
Oh, goodness. John Lindquist, then, we lost to COVID. Him. All right, and that was it? Yes, ma'am, Donna. Staub. Okay. All right, anyone else? All right. Then if you would join me in prayer. Dear Lord, let us keep our hearts and prayers in our hearts and prayers, all those who are suffering during this time, and all those who are helping others in so many ways. Now, if all of you will please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
In a new year, there will be Sundays when we come, especially this next Sunday, and we celebrate the Epiphany. There will be Sundays that we come, and we will even part of worship celebrate the love of Valentine, and then we will have a time that we go through Lent and on to Easter. Then we will celebrate our independence and our freedoms on a Sunday, and then the fall comes, and we celebrate that fall. And then we come back, the holy season of Advent once again. But during all of those different celebrations, this table is the common factor. Every time we come to worship, we come to this table. It is the central focus of our worship because it not only exemplifies Jesus' sacrifice and love for us, but also our being fed and our devotion to God. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat that was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup, the traditional cup always set for Elijah at the Passover. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink that this was a new covenant to be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first disciples celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me."
If you'd pray with me. Father, we come to this table with you and for you, Father, to pass on this bread and this cup that you have given to us. Father, may this cup and this bread heal our hearts, Father, for you know our hearts. as this is our last Sunday of 2018, Father, we look forward to our 2019 growth with you in our church and within ourselves. Father, in your beloved Son's name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. Well, before I start, I want to say a word of thanks to Amy for this invitation to be here this morning to bring the word. And it's always an honor to be asked to preach in a congregation, especially where you're attending. And then I want to show you one other thing. I hope you can hear me. I've got a big mouth. The stole I'm wearing this morning, I don't wear very often. It was an ordination gift from my grandmother. My mother's mother was the first female elder elected in the church in Texas City. 100 years ago. And the day I was ordained, she presented me with this stole. You can see that it's white, trimmed in red. What you might not be able to see is at the bottom, on each side, was her favorite cartoon character, or spirit animal, whatever you call it, she didn't know to call it that, Snoopy. And on one side, Snoopy, of course, has an alpha. And on the other side, any guesses?
Omega.
And Omega, exactly. So, I don't think she She gave this to me the day I was ordained, and I don't wear it very often. I save it for special occasions. But I wanted to share it with you all this morning as a way of honoring her and giving thanks for the opportunity to be here. Our scripture lesson comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, starting at the 22nd verse. And I need to apologize to you. I forgot to bring my Bible with a little bit larger print, so I'm reading from... Oh, good. I can read from the screen. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. This text follows what's probably the most familiar Christmas story. Well, it is. It's the only in my mind, it's the only complete story, Christmas story in the four Gospels. And that's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through about 20. So beginning at 22, it says, When the time came for the rites of purification required by the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem, and there was a man there named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the coming, for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought Jesus in to do for him what is customary under the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms, praised God, and said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you. I'm ready for 2020 to go away. Exit stage left as soon as possible. I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, and because of the conditions in the last year, we haven't been able to get together. We used to gather for lunch at least once a month. And because of COVID restrictions and other things, we haven't been able to do that. But we promised ourselves as soon as it was possible, we would make plans to do that. We also promised each other something very important. We promised that on December the 31st, 2020, we would both stay awake until midnight. Not because anything special is going to happen here in Conroe or in New York City or in downtown Houston. We just want to make sure that nothing prevents the exit of 2020 from the world stage. It's time for it to be done. With apologies to the Apostle Paul, I summarize what my friend and I promised each other like this. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will prevent 2020 from going away as quickly as possible and with as little fanfare as necessary. Is this the strangest year you've ever lived through? Yeah? I can't remember a time, you know, we talk in the Lenten season, we talk about giving something up, right? We give up chocolate or we give up, you know, something. This year the whole church gave up something. We gave up coming together for worship. And in some places, some congregations are still not meeting together. I don't know if you remember when that first happened. At least on my Facebook feed, there was a lot of buzz about the church being closed. Do you remember that? Did you hear that? See that? My friends, the church didn't close. When we started worshiping at home, all we did was open a branch church in front of every computer on the planet. Turn on Zoom and you're in church, right? If you had told me a year ago that this was that we would give up being in worship, that all the restrictions would come along, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. I don't think this is something any of us could have anticipated. Certainly not the length or intensity of it. And yet here we are waiting. A show of hands, how many people like to wait? I'm waiting. That's what I figured. Most of us don't like to wait. In our text this morning, Mary has just finished waiting. She spent 9 months waiting for Jesus to be born. Her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant at the same time, waiting for her child to be born, John the Baptist, who would be Jesus' first cousin. Waiting impatiently and with a great degree of uncertainty about what things will look like if we ever get back to anything resembling normal. I remember 30 years ago, probably, when I was a student at Bright and worked for the Cokesbury bookstore, which was around the corner from the campus, we had a humor section. How many of you remember Irma Bombeck? Great humorist. She had a book in the humor section at that time called, she had several. The Grass Was Always Greener Over the Septic Tank. But my favorite was Normal Is Just a Setting on the Dryer. So I don't know that we're ever going to get back to normal. But there's hope. Have you been watching the news? Not one, but two vaccines. So maybe someday soon, we can ditch the masks. By the way, mask is my new least favorite four-letter word. We can ditch the masks. We can come together. I try to take those steps back to being what church used to be. But we don't like to wait. We want it to happen now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is an original Michael statement, but I don't want to take too much credit for it. Part of the problem, part of the reason we hate to wait is that we are people that expect microwave oven results, and we forget that we live in a crockpot world. It takes time. Sometimes it just takes time for things to happen. And patience is not our strong suit. We live in the Houston area. We know this, don't we? Traffic can happen anytime. I remember not too long, just a few weeks ago, I was going into the city to see a friend of mine, and it was after dinner. And I got down I-45 as far as the Grand Parkway. Solid. Stopped. 25 minutes later, I saw the wrecker and two cars on the inside median and figured out why I'd been stopped. But we just don't like to wait. Rush hour traffic in Houston has been a problem since I was a kid. I can remember growing up in Texas City and people driving from there into downtown to work, and it was a good hour. Now probably an hour and a half. And again, if we miss rush hour, we can always find an accident to wait behind. But we're impatient. Have you noticed when we wait? We don't just sit in one spot and wait for things to happen. We don't wait for the accident to clear. We change lanes, move up behind the person, try to get to the best spot we can to start our journey back as quickly as possible. And I'm guilty. I do the same thing at Kroger when I'm waiting in line. And I will tell you now, if you see me at Kroger, don't wait behind me in line. I'm cursed. Whatever line I choose winds up being the longest possible wait time. It doesn't matter how many people are ahead of me. It doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to wind up waiting. Now, you're probably wondering what any of this has to do with the text I read from Luke chapter 2. As I said, the text follows Luke's description of the birth of Jesus, and each of the four Gospels does this differently. Matthew tells the story in about 6 or 7 verses. The Gospel of Mark begins with the friendly, outgoing, welcoming words of John the Baptist. You brood of vipers! And then there's the prologue in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Luke is really the only place where we get a full, complete Christmas story. And right after the birth, I think the purification law is required 8 days. So Mary and Joseph go back to the temple to present Jesus and to be purified, because Mary would have been considered unclean having been given birth. And can you imagine? They walk into the temple minding their own business. They intend to present their son and the offerings that are required by the law and go home. And here comes Simeon. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary and Joseph to hear those words? To know that their son, this infant, this 8-day-old infant, was destined to make a difference in the world. And that it would not always be easy. I don't know if you noticed that Luke, instead of saying the rising and falling of Israel, or the rising and falling of many in Israel, says the fall, he does the falling first. He says the falling and rising of many, which echoes what happens in Jesus' own life, because he doesn't win the victory until after he dies on the cross. So we go into the valley and then come to the mountaintop. It's hard to wait. Some of you may know that my profile is currently in circulation. I'm trying to find a full-time church. And it's a long waiting game. I had an interview about 2 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting to hear something. They did tell me that it might, that, you know, the chairman of the committee said, well, it might be after Christmas. I think we've accomplished that part. I can't begin to imagine the range of emotions that Mary and Joseph have felt from making the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, you know, to enroll in the census because Joseph was descended from David. Can you imagine making that journey 8 and a half, 9 months pregnant on the back of a donkey? I'm sure it was no picnic for Joseph either. But the scripture has told us that Mary and Joseph have been afraid. They've been terrified. It even used the word perplexed at least once. And now for good measure, because Luke, the physician, needed some extra points from his Greek professor for using his thesaurus well, he went and looked up the word. I'm trying to figure out which word it was. But he uses a different word to describe their feelings. But it's an amazing story. Luke tells us, and if you're like me, every time I read Luke 2, I have to almost, Michelle, is it just me, or do you almost sing Luke chapter 2? Does it feel like, it feels like Handel's Messiah? And so, all of that history and remembrance and memory comes in. And every time we read the text, every time we tell the story to a friend, every time we witness to what's happening in the world, to the love of God made known in Christ, something new gets born in our hearts and in the hearts of the people that listen. My friends, I hope that 2021 is a year like that for all of us. Like I said, I'm ready to get rid of this. I've got a box of these. I would just gladly have a bonfire. I'll invite you over. We'll burn our masks and celebrate that we could live life again. But until it's safe, let's continue to take care of one another, to practice those safety protocols and social distancing, just to do the things that are right to take care of each other. And then maybe, this would be really fun. I'd love to see this happen. Maybe, in the first Sunday of Lent, we start worship with "Joy to the World," because it would be joyful. Mary and Joseph have given us the greatest, through the power of God, we've been given the greatest gift possible. The Messiah has come. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning in worship, to remember the faithfulness that Mary and Joseph demonstrated in bringing up Jesus in the faith, and for the opportunity to continue that faithfulness in our own lives. Help us to see you in unexpected places and ways, and to share the good news so that the whole world may come to know your love in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.